Today, the day of Pentecost, we're going to speak about prayer. The subject is in your bulletin. The subject is God's people do pray. Do you remember that, brother? How are you praying? How are you praying? The story of Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 2. But the spirit of Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 1. The spirit of Pentecost was upon them long before the Holy Spirit of God was given. Chapter 1 of Acts. Look at verse 14. Talking about prayer. Acts 1 and 14. These all continued with one accord. The same sentiment. The same language of chapter 2. One accord, unity, togetherness. God's church, brethren, can only thrive with togetherness. How bounded are we? How bounded are we? How bounded are you? They all continued in one accord and in prayer. Evangelicals used to say, if you want to embarrass a Christian, ask him how is his prayer life. They also said, he wants to know how spiritual am I is, active as he is in church, ask his wife. I can add another one. Ask his children. Are they as spiritual at home as they pretend at church? Brethren, prayer is vital to sustaining our spiritual life. And if your prayer life is broken down, if your prayer life is disheveled, need we ask, how is your Christian life? The spirit of Pentecost had been upon them 10 days before Christ had gone back to heaven. But they were in a spiritual state of anticipation. He had said, go and wait for the promise of the fathers. And they'd been in Jerusalem. They'd come back to receive this special promise of the Father. And they continued in one accord and in prayer. Brethren, if God's church is to progress, we must be a praying people, not a criticizing people, not a dragging people down. We must be a praying people. Ask the same question again. How is your prayer life? Do you spend more time criticizing the church than you spend in prayer? That's an indication. How are you doing it? How are you doing it? We need to spend time in prayer. After all, it was Jesus in Matthew 6, if you would turn with me. Matthew chapter 6. You know what's in chapter 6, don't you? You ought to know. No, I'll tell you what verse. verse 9. Jesus, after the disciples had come to him and said, "You pray so well. Would you teach us how to pray?" Have you heard yourself praying recently? You go to God, but you pray about yourself, "Lord, give me this and give me that and give me that. Lord, teach us to pray." And in verse 9, he launches out into a pattern, into a formula, into an outline. "After this manner, pray ye." In other words, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. We have run the idea that, well, if we say the Our Father, we're doing well. Is that the epitome of your prayer? Just repeating the words of the Our Father? We talk a while coming about how Jesus prayed. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name." And the populace has gone, "If this is the Lord's Prayer," and that's all he repeats. Brethren, if your prayer does not come from your heart in deep confession and simplicity, your prayer might only be reaching the ceilings. You remember in the Gospels, there's a story of Jesus in the temple. And two men went up to the temple to pray. That's strange. Men aren't praying, buddies. But two men voluntarily went up to the temple to pray, or they were praying to God. But they did not realize that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was standing over there. And he was hearing them. Do you consider the fact, brethren, that God, Jesus Christ, are hearing your prayer? Think of what you pray about. Think of the sincerity in your praying. And these men were praying to God, but they, like many people, did not realize that Jesus Christ is God. More than that, he was hearing what they were saying. One said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." Have you heard people in that kind of a bombastic attitude? You praying to God? Yeah. That's the best you can do. It certainly is. And he got up there with bombast. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Not even like this Republican." Publican. And he gave God a list of the things he does. He said that negative virtues are of no value. Can you tell God, "I don't smoke, I don't go to the cinema, I don't dance"? Hooray! What do you do? He gave a litany of things that he doesn't do. But what he was doing there was being so hypocritical. He didn't know that right over there standing was Jesus Christ in the person of God. Then the other man, Republican, standing over there, and the word said he would not even as much as lift his head to heaven. He was so embarrassed as to the type of life he was living. All he can get out was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus, who was standing there, said, "Isn't that something? This man went down to his house justified. But the other guy, the bombast, he went back the same way he came into that temple." Would to God, brethren, when we come here to hear from God, we go away differently. We came in with our prejudices. We came in with our hate.
We came in with our opposition to people.
The question is, how did you go out?
Did you go out being edified? Did you go out being fed?
Or did you go out the same way you came in? I mean, you get out there, you criticize the very church where you were not making a spiritual contribution. You're so bitter. You're so carnal. You're so much unlike Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. John's Gospel. That's in Matthew. Chapter 17. May I tell you, brethren, that this is the Lord's Prayer. Oh, you didn't know that, eh? Look how it starts off. See your Savior prostrate at that rock in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Brethren, this is the Lord's Prayer. Men in their theology have ascribed Matthew 6, 9 through about 11 as being the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ praying. We need, brethren, to learn to pray. How do you pray? Some of us have long stopped kneeling. Oh, my feet hurt. Who give you feet? Remember Moses when God called him to speak and go and tell Pharaoh? Lord, I can't speak. And God from high heaven thundered, Who made your mouth? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, prostrate on his knees, knowing the task that was before him, the redemption of the world, the salvation of mankind. When you have time, read this prayer. Lord God, the hour has come. Let's look at some of the passion in which Christ puts this hour. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Do you pray that prayer of humility? Lord God, make me an instrument of your truth. Or do you just pray for yourself? You pray for the minister? You pray for the church and its people and its responsibility? Glorify yourself, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given me power over all flesh, that he should be, that she should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Listen to the words of verse 3. Read the words of verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That's all. John said, let me decrease, and he, as he increases, let me be less, and let your spirit be seen in me and through me. What is the subject? God's people to pray. James said, Elias, meaning Elijah, was a man subject to life's like passions as we are. The difference is, he prayed. Do we put much you're not praying.
Or do we just say a couple of words?
We laugh at those who just say they are our Father. Or pray their beads.
Prayer ought to be extemporaneous. You should be able to go to God and tell Him what you think. Ask Him for what you need. Unashamedly.
Some people are so private, they wouldn't even hear it, let their wives hear about it for them. Or their husband, it's so quiet.
You should be able to get on your knees or stand in a corner or wherever your private place of devotion is, if you have one. Talk to God from your heart. You don't have to read it. You get a book, what did that man write? No!
God is your Father. You should be able to get to God and tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's in your mind. Tell Him, I don't like that church anymore that you called me to. But God, if it is your church, let your spirit be present. And you come too. God's people do pray. When last did you pray? Did you pray before coming here this morning? Do you pray over your food? Do you pray at night before you go to bed? You heard of the guy who got tired of praying. He wrote out his prayer. Whatever that was. Jumped in his bed and said, Lord, hey, it's on the wall. That's how we have come to assess. Assimilate and categorize prayer. Something else I wrote on Acts and Book of Acts. When you get home, read John 17. The passion with which Jesus Christ prayed, and compare that to ours with quick little Our Father. Like what He taught our children, God bless me, God bless mommy, God bless daddy. We say that every day. When we go down to Jamaica, the folks, they aren't members of God's church. They're members of another church. Every year we go. To bless the food, they say the same thing. It's nearly boring. To us, can you imagine how God feels about some of the repetitious prayers we give? Now, there's nothing wrong with repetition. Nothing wrong with it. But you must be sincere. I ask you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'll turn there too, so we're both on the same page. Acts chapter 4. Starting in verse 23, I wish you could read the whole thing, but time is of the essence. And I can be pretty long-winded. And being let go, verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Again, here's that one accord again. You know, Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you come to bring your offering and your gift or yourself to God, and remember that your brother has ought against you, leave there your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. Do you think you're going to get through in your prayer to God when you're not reconciled to your brother? And you speak evil of him? Subject. God's people. To pray. It was the psalmist who said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Let's say that verse again. If you regard ill will in your heart, be assured
God is not going to hear that little child's prayer. He said, up!
The other way is serious, brethren. It's not just coming to church. It's coming to hear from God that you might lead a better life. You've been coming here for what, 10 years? 15 years. I was counting the other day, I got baptized in 19, I'm getting old, I know that you don't realize that, but I am. I got baptized in God's church years ago. I mean, the church now 50 years, that's to tell you how old I am. And I still look to God for direction. I have to come and stand before God's people and give God, give you His truth. I ask God to guide me, help me to say the right thing. Because you are coming here after a hard work week. You coming here by bus or train and from a distance. You don't want to hear foolishness. You want to hear an inspired message from God that you might be able to bring your life into conformity with God's way of life. Isn't that so? So I have to contemplate seriously what I bring to God. And so it says here in verse 23 and 24, lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord God, thou art God. Again, extemporaneous. They weren't reading their prayers. They were praying from their heart. Lord God, which made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them. Who by the mouth, extemporaneous, is flowing because it's coming from here. It's not on a paper that somebody wrote and printed for you. It must come from your gut. Because you believe in the God who called you and called you into His church. You want to submit to Him and do His will. That's why you're coming here. And it goes on with a whole extemporaneous outflowing from the heart. You've seen the things that the kings of the earth have done. Go on to verse 27. For of a truth, against your holy child. Here Jesus referred to as the holy child. He's a man. He was resurrected. Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles. This is someone's prayer. Not just the same old words. And the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever their hand and the council determined before to be done. And now, Lord, this is praying, brethren. This is pouring out of their heart. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they will speak your word, by teaching both thine hand, by stretching forth both thy hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child. Many people want the signs and wonders, but are they living the life through which God can work and do signs and wonders? Depends on the kind of signs and wonders you want. And when they had, there's the word I was looking for. What did we say? God's people do pray. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, not ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. Throughout the generations, God's people have been praying people. What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? They were praying. They were looking to God. They were there on that day. They did not mistake the day. They didn't come 2 days after and say, oh. They were there at the appointed time. And God responded by sending the Holy Spirit upon them. And the word said, they will fill with the Holy Spirit. I know we have two services, but I want to give another scripture too. Look at Luke chapter 18. Tell me if these words mean something to you. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1.
Then spake he a parable unto them, saying,
there it is again,
that men and women ought always to pray.
Always.
Do you consult God first, or you just jump and get yourself into financial trouble and say, God help me? Men and women ought always to pray.
My wife asked me, what are you going to speak about? And I told her first I was going to speak about prayer and Pentecost. They're together. They're important.
They come as a duality.
We need to be a praying people.
That's why Christ said here,
men ought always to pray.
There's never a time that you shouldn't pray.
God expects you to do so.
God's church runs on prayer.
And if you break down
in the prayer chain,
how prayerful is the church of God?
You've heard the statement,
we are as strong as our weakest link. And if you can scarcely stand up as a Christian, maybe it's affecting the church. If you said, I know I should pray, but I'm tired. I know they have two services on Saturday and Sunday, but I'll just go to one. Very sad, brethren. You would not like to know what the attendance was yesterday. It was poor. Very poor. Why? Because some people are out of work 5 days a week, but come to two Sabbath services, that's too much. Jesus went to pray in Gethsemane. And when he came back, that's in Matthew 26. When he came back, they were sleeping. Verse 39 and 40 said, what? Can you not watch with me for an hour? Can you not keep two Sabbaths back to back? It's too much, Mr. Morris. I gotta go to work on Monday. That's more important, isn't it? He came back and he was terrified. He said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Can you not be here on the appointed day at the appointed time? Oh, can't make it. It's too much. We expect God's blessings, brethren. We have got to man up. Woman up. We're going to keep our commitment to God.
And do what he wants us to do if we expect God's church to grow
and become a blessing in the neighborhood, in the community, and to us. My time is running. God's people do pray, don't they?